Hello, and welcome again to Engineered Systems Magazine's podcast series. I'm Howard McHugh, Director of Building Solutions at RDK Engineers in Andover, Massachusetts. And today I want to talk about system training and how it is currently specified in the contract specifications and how that's not working. To begin with, you go to Division 1 and you'll find a specification requirement on system training as well as equipment training. And on system training, it's quite often written in the spec with very little interaction with the end user, the facility operator. A design team will write this specification requirement, and quite often it's boilerplate standard verbiage that goes into each and every spec. And unfortunately, because of this format, there's no follow-through or ownership on the design team's part because they have no responsibility in giving the system training. It's not in their contract. Instead, the requirement is passed on to the contractor who owns it but is trying to get the job and carry enough money for training but without really putting a lot of emphasis on how good the training will be. They're more interested in getting the job, not in providing super training. Another flaw in the system is quite often the training then gets passed down to the trade contractors who never see Division 1 on the specifications. Instead, they're looking at something that may be addressed in their Division 15 or 16. And the contractor can say to the subs, well, you own it. I gave you a copy of Division 1. I've seen firsthand the trades. Look at that and say, well, I didn't really look at it, and how much should I have carried anyways? It's not clear. With this disconnect, building owners really pay for system training, but they get very little for their money. And that really needs to be changed. What's needed is to start with the owner providing in the building program an allowance for system training. So in the beginning, a budget should be provided for this system training. And it should be introduced to the facility operators if they're available. Sometimes projects don't have the facility operators available at schematic design. Further updates on the training can be introduced in design development and in the construction document phase. When the trade contractors come on board, after the shop drawings are approved, equipment training can begin to be introduced to the building operators. And then as you get closer to the commissioning of the system, the final steps of system training can be provided. All this takes is funding up front. It takes a commitment by the owner to do it right. And it takes the commitment by someone as a third party who's experienced in training and can provide adequate training as the process goes along through the design phase up into construction and through to commissioning. In the warranty phase, it would be good to take one last look at the system training by having a meeting with the instructor and the operators to review anything that's come up during the operation in year one of operation and make some adjustments. And then in addition, if this is an institution that does a lot of construction, then lessons learned should be developed so that on the next project, the system training will start off even better than this time. I hope this brief discussion was helpful, and I will be talking about it more in my column, Tomorrow's Environment in Engineered Systems Magazine. Thank you again, and this is Howard McHugh.